This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Italy is not the first to breach the European Union's budget rules, but will it be the first to face punishment? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Well, any minute now, the European Union is expected to send back Italy's draft budget for changes, the first time it's ever done so. That's because the EU Stability and Growth Pact says countries should have budget deficits below 3% of economic output. Italy's proposed figure is only 2.4%, but its accumulated debt is more than twice the EU's limits. The BBC's Andrew Walker explains.
In terms of breaching the limits on debt, yes, that has happened quite a lot. But I think the Commission's position is basically that most of the time, countries that have done that have at least been making some sort of effort to get on top of the problem. And I think they see Italy's position as a fairly flagrant violation. It's also true to say, however, that a number of countries have breached the annual deficit figure. The first breaches in the early years of this system were by France and Germany. And there is a perception, at least, that because it was France and Germany, they didn't get the punishment that others might have done.
What kinds of penalties could be imposed here? Because there are some strong words also by Austria saying, look, we don't want to underwrite this debt. And Italy's leaders don't seem to be backing down on this.
The potential penalties include fines, the withholding of some types of European Union funds. So far, the Commission has proven itself to be very reluctant to go that far. And it must be said, it's not just the Commission. Governments have to get involved in this decision. Ministers from the Eurozone member governments also get involved in this decision. But it certainly is a possibility. There is a particular concern about the extent to which this new Italian government is pulling at the limits on Eurozone disciplines in a way that others have shown themselves a bit reluctant to do in the past.
Andrew Walker, let's do the numbers. Italy's main stock index is up 0.5% after Moody's kept the country's debt rating just above junk on Friday. Bond yields are falling, while investors are also sending shares of Italian banks higher. And China's Shanghai Composite Index rallied more than 4% today. Investors were cheered after authorities said Friday they would step in to help markets after data showed slower than expected third quarter growth. Now, it might feel a little early for Christmas bonuses, but across South America, workers start getting those bonuses now, spread out over a few months. And workers in Venezuela will get theirs pegged to the cryptocurrency, the Petro, launched by the government earlier this year. The BBC's Daniel Gallis has more.
Payments will still be made in the country's real currency, the sovereign Bolivar, but an exchange rate with the Petro will define how much each worker is paid. The Bolivar is the world's worst performing currency, with massive devaluations taking place each month. So President Nicolás Maduro has been trying to peg part of the economy to the Petro, which the government claims is backed by barrels of oil produced by Venezuela's state energy company. Some public services in Venezuela, like the issuing of passports, are already being charged in the new cryptocurrency. However, analysts say there is no guarantee that the Petro has any real value other than the government's word. President Maduro urged workers to invest their bonuses in petrol and also in a government program that sells gold bar certificates. Venezuela has faced one of the world's worst economic crises after the 2014 oil crash. The IMF expects inflation to reach 1,000,000% by the end of the year, and millions of people have fled the country amid shortages and hunger.
Daniel Gallus there. Now, we all talk a lot about economic growth, and the most comprehensive measure we use is GDP, gross domestic product. But in addition to adding up the value of finished goods and services, should we also be factoring in the well-being of people and the planet? Well, that's an argument put forward at the International Economics of Happiness Conference, which took place this weekend here in England. Liz Zeidler is boss of the Happy City charity.
Economic growth is a decent measure for whether or not we are consuming more this year than last year and more consuming more next year than this year. We've said that that's somehow the goal of all of our human activity in our world. And what we've been trying to say is that actually the end goal is the capacity for all of us to thrive. Economic growth might be one of the ingredients for delivering that, but it's not the end goal. And when we make it the end goal, suddenly we skew everything else. Health services are just about churning out people as quickly as we possibly can. Education just becomes about making productive little workers, etc.
Okay, that all makes sense. But is factoring in well-being something that businesses and governments can realistically do?
Once we measure those things, we can prioritise them. We can understand what affects them more. We can start putting investment and value on the things that promote those things. There are increasingly around the world governments who are bringing in legislation that says we have to take into account the well-being of current and future generations. Dubai now has a Minister of Happiness, which has got quite a lot of smirks around the world, but actually they are taking it very seriously. They're starting to measure the well-being of their people in quite a fundamental way. More countries in South America are doing this, around Australasia and Europe. Let's not forget that big businesses are huge employers in our world. So as employers, they need to start really taking this seriously, because unhappy workers are not all of the things they want them to be: productive, good at problem solving, team members, loyal, all those sort of things. Clever business, at least, is starting to invest in that better future rather than just invest in very, very short term benefits for shareholders or profit lines.
That's Liz Zeidler there of the Happy City Charity. Remember, Bhutan is one of those countries that does factor in happiness. And finally, the world's longest sea bridge opens tomorrow. It connects Hong Kong to mainland China. It's 34 miles long. It costs $20 billion. And it's built to withstand 8 magnitude earthquakes, super typhoons and strikes by cargo vessels. It could also spell the end of China's white dolphins in the area. Have a look online, some amazing pictures. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.